The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parashas Matos and Maase. In Parashas Matos it states in Perek Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Yud Gimel, Vayetzu Moshe v'Elozer HaKoyen v'chol Nesi'o Edo likrosom el michutz l'machaneh. Moshe had sent out an army from Israel to Nekom es Nikmas Midian, to take revenge for Midian because of what they did to Klal Yisrael. They sent, this was the whole story with Midian and Moab and Bilon. They sent their daughters in to Israel to seduce the Bnei Israel to Avera and ultimately to Avera Zora, to idolatry. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe, take revenge. The soldiers went. They were very successful and they returned. And it states that Moshe and Elazar HaKohen and all of the heads of the tribes, they went out to meet them. Then, it states, Vayikzav Moshe al Pegudei HaChoel. Moshe became angry on the soldiers, on the heads, on the commanders of the armies. Sorry, Alofim, Sorry, Meyos, Aboy, Mitzvah, Melchoma, Vayem, Aleh, Moshe, Hachisem, Kol, Nikeva. Why did you leave all of the females living? These were the ones who fulfilled the words of Bilam to bring Klal Yisrael down. And then the Torah tells us what Moshe commanded. A little later, in Pasuk Chof Aleph, states, Vayom Elozer HaKohen al Anshei HaTzava Aboim LaMilchama. Elozer, the Kohen, this was the son of Aaron, he said to all of the soldiers, Zeus chukas haTorah asher tzivah Hashem es Moshe. These are the laws of the Torah, which Hashem has commanded Moshe. And then he started to instruct all of them what to do with the spoils which they brought back. The spoils which they brought back, much of it needed tahara b'mikveh. And you had to purify it. It needed kashrin, the kelim, the certain vessels and so forth. You had to make them kosher and so forth. So here the sages ask, why did Elazar instruct the army? Why not Moshe? Rashi brings, V'fisha bo Moshe lechlal ka'as bo lechlal to'os. Because Moshe had gotten angry. Before it states, Vayikzov Moshe. Moshe became angry at the armies because they had left the females live. Because Moshe became angry, he came to error. Shnis alma mimenu hilchis guli akum. And when it came time to instruct the soldiers in the intricacies of kashering the dishes, he wasn't too clear anymore. He was confused. He had forgotten the halachas momentarily. So therefore he had to instruct Elazar. What do we see from here? We see that if a person gets angry, he can all of a sudden forget his learning. And then Rashi brings, V'chein atometzi bishmini lamaluim. Shnema v'yikzaf al Elazar v'al Yisomar, bo lechlal kaas, bo lechlal toos. What is he referring to? On the eighth day of the inauguration of the Mishkan, of the sanctuary, a number of korbanos and sacrifices were to be brought. But a great tragedy happened, and that was with Nadav v'Avihu, that they brought a fire to the altar which was not commanded, and they were consumed in the flames. And then, it states in Vayikra, Posuk, Vayikra Yud Aleph, Posuk Tes Zayin, V'yisir achatos dorosh, dorash Moshe v'hinei sorof. One of the korbanes, the sacrifices, chatas, was not eaten as normal, but was burnt. And Moshe wanted to know why not. And he became angry. Excuse me, it's in Perek Yud. If I said it's Perek Yud, I'll have no, it's Perek Yud. Posuk Tesai. And Moshe became angry. Why didn't you eat the sacrifice? We have a halacha that kahanim eichlin ubailim mischaprim, that only through the eating of the sacrifices by the kahanim will this bring atonement to Israel. Those sacrifices that the kahanim were commanded to eat. Now here they were commanded to eat this one. They didn't, they burnt it. So this prevented the atonement for Israel. So Moshe got angry. He says, "Madua le'achalte mesachates bimkem kadosh? Why didn't you eat it? You were commanded to eat it in order to bring atonement to Klal Yisrael." Eventually, Vayidaber Aaron el Moshe. So Aaron answered Moshe, and he gave him a technical reason why they should not have eaten it, because of the particular tragedy that took place. Vayishma Moshe vayita be'enov. Moshe listened, and in the end, he conceded, he agreed. You were right, I was wrong. It should not have been eaten, like you burnt it. This is strange. How come Aaron and his sons knew the halacha, and Moshe didn't? The only way Aaron and his sons could have known the halacha is by Moshe teaching it to them. So what do we see? Because Moshe got angry, where it states Vayikzov, he became angry and a loss of Yisomor. The anger caused him to lose his wisdom. And he had momentarily forgotten the halacha. That's the second place. We find this in three places by Moshe Rabbeinu. The third place, Rashi brings, V'chein b'shimu no'amorim, v'yaches ha'sela, ha'idei kas to'o. When just recently in Parshas Chukas, Miriam had died, and the water, the well which went with them for 40 years in the desert, dried up, because the water was b'schus Miriam, was in the merit of Miriam. Well, there was no water. The people wanted water. They were thirsty. So they started to come against Moshe. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe, go to a certain rock. Daber el ha'sela. Speak to the rock, and it will bring out water. In other words, the spring of water which traveled with them would come back. Moshe went there. But in the meantime, the people were grumbling. And they were saying, what did you bring us here to the desert to die? And Moshe had enough of the people already. So he became angry. And he said, Shimun Amayrim, listen to me, you rebellious people. He became angry, and then he became confused. He didn't find the rock right away. And then he wasn't sure if HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him to speak to the rock or to hit the rock, because there was a similar incident that had happened at the beginning of the 40 years, and then Hashem said to hit the rock. So he started to think that maybe I was supposed to hit it. But Yaches HaSela, and he hit the rock. And from there, he had forgotten what Hashem said, and came out an enormous tragedy from there. Yana Shaleim Antimbi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to both Moshe and Aaron, because you didn't believe in me and you didn't do as I told you. From there came out that Moshe and Aaron were not Zeicher, they didn't merit to go into Eretz Yisrael, but they died in the Midbar. Now exactly what was the chait? This is questionable, but everyone agrees that the chait came because of his anger. That's what started it off. So, Begimel Mekemes Matzinu, in three places we find that Moshe became angry, v'nis'almu mimenu halocha. And the halocha, the laws of the Torah, were temporarily lost to him. The Gemara in Masechta Pesachim, in Perek Elo Dvarim Daf Samach Vov Amad Beis, the Gemara brings Reish Lakish Omar. Kol Adam Shekais, Reish Lakish says, any person who angers, im chacham hu, chachmasem istalekes mimenu. If he is a wise person, he will lose his wisdom. Im navi hu, nivoasem istalekes mimenu. If he's a prophet, he will lose his prophecy momentarily. How do we know this? Chacham, the wisdom we know from Moshe. And then he brings from here in our Parsha, which we just read in regards to Moshe. Im Novihu, if he's a prophet, how do we know that? He says, this we know from Elisha. He brings from Malachim, Malachim Beis, Per Gimel Posuk Yud Dalet. What does it say there? What it's referring to is Elisha became very angry. Elisha the prophet became very angry on Jehoram, who was the king of Israel. And Yehoshaphat, who was the king of Yehuda, asked Elisha to come to him. And there was Jehoram. So he was very angry when he saw Jehoram. And Yehoshaphat asked Elisha a question. Should we go to war? Should we not go to war? So Elisha was going to answer him with a prophecy, what Hashem would tell him. And he was having difficulty. He wasn't getting any prophecy from Hashem. So he said as follows. First he says, Lule p'nei Yehoshaphat melech Yuda ninaise imabite lecha vimarecha. If it wouldn't be for Yehoshaphat here, I wouldn't stay here. Because this Rosh Yehoram is here and he's upsetting me terribly. I'm very angry. Then later when he was asked the question, so it states, Va'ato kechuli menagin, bring to me a musician. And when the musician will play music, then the spirit of Hashem will return to me, and then I'll be able to tell you what you want to know. So what do we see? That as long as he was angry and upset, the nevuah, the prophecy, went away from him. What is the nevuah? The nevuah is the Shekhinah. Kodesh Baruch Hu's presence escaped him. So he says, I have to cut myself down. So he says, bring me a musician. The musician came, played for me, played music for him. So relaxed him, calmed himself down. Then the spirit of Hashem returned to him. Now he said, I can tell you answers to your questions. So what do we see? Im novihu, nevuase mistalekes mimano. If a person becomes angry and he's a prophet, he loses prophecy. Then the Gemara adds a third one. The Gemara brings Omar Moni Bar Patish, kol shekoes afilo poskin olav gedula min hashamayim. Whoever becomes angry, even if it was already decreed that this person should have gedula. Gedula is royalty, leadership. Even if it was decreed that this person should become a great leader in Israel or any other place, if he becomes angry, maridin, I say, he loses it. It's taken away from him. Minolan, how do we know? This we know from Eliyahu. Eliyahu was the oldest brother of David HaMelech. This the Gemara brings from Shmuel Aleph, Pasuk Yud Zayin, and later on, excuse me, Shmuel Aleph Perek Yud Zayin, and later on in from before Perek Tes Zayin. What happened? When David was a young lad, and he was the youngest, so he stayed home to watch the sheep. And one day his father sends him and gives him all types of provisions and says, go to the camp of Israel and bring the provisions to your brothers. They were in the army of Shaul HaMelech, King Saul. So he goes and he sees there's a big tumult, there's a big, what's going on? He sees that hundreds and hundreds of soldiers of the Plishtim of the Philistines on one side, and hundreds if not thousands of Shaul's army on the other side. And in the middle was a big fella, giant, and he's standing there, and he's cursing, heaven forbid, he's cursing Israel and Hashem, and he's saying all types of profanities at them. And nobody's doing anything about it. And he's challenging them. He says, send out someone to fight me. And he was the size of three or four people. Nobody would go. And he had armor on like a tank. So David comes, and he starts to make inquiries. Why is everybody standing still? Nobody goes, and they let him talk like that, and so forth and so on. And he starts to ask around. Then his older brother noticed him there. His older brother Eliyahu was in the army. And it states, Vayichar af Eliyahu b'David. Eliyahu became very, very angry at David. Vayomer loma ze yirareto. What are you doing here? This was his kid brother. What are you doing here? What did you come here for? Vamina tashtumat hatzon. Ahena b'minbar. Who's watching the sheep? Who did you leave the sheep with? He says, I know your nature, your violent nature. You came here, you left the sheep, and you came here to watch the fighting. He says, what are you doing here? Go back and watch the sheep. This is not for you. And he became very angry at him. Later on, when Hashem, well, meanwhile, you all know the rest of the story. We don't have time this evening. It's a very good story, very excellent story. We don't have time to go into it. But I highly recommend that anyone who doesn't know the story, even if you do know the story, read it over again. Learn it over. But at any rate, at another time, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to Shmuel, the Novi, and he told him that I no longer want Shaul to be my king. You have to go and anoint another king. So he said, who should I? He said, go to the house of Yishai. Yishai has many children. He had seven, or some say eight. There you will find the one who will be the new king. So he says, how do I know which one? He says, I'll tell you. He was a prophet. You'll know. So he comes to his house, to Yishai's house, and he asks for the sons. And all of the sons come out. And each son, Shmuel said, Lebezeh bochar Hashem. Now, he told Yishai what he's coming for. He says, Lebezeh bochar Hashem. Not this one did Hashem choose. But when it came to Eliyahu, and Eliyahu, Shmuel wanted to choose. There Hashem said, "Vayemar Hashem el Shmuel, al tabit el marehu ve'al gavo kemosai." Do not look at his appearance. He was very, very good looking. Do not look at his wonderful build. He was very handsome, and tall, and strong. He says, "Ki ma'astiho," because I have rejected him. Now why? By all of the others it said, I have not chosen him. He I have not chosen. And by Eliyahu, Hashem said, Ki ma'astiyah, I have rejected him. So from there the Gemara learns, Michlal davarochim le'ado idno. He was to be chosen. But because he was a ragson, he became angry. He had a nature of anger. HaKadosh Baruch Hu rejected him. Here we learn that afilo poskin alav gedula, even if Shamayim has decreed that this person will is destined for great leadership, if he's an action, if he has a violent nature, an angry nature, he will be rejected. This is what the Gemara tells us. This is what the Gemara says further in Psochim. Again in Psochim, Daf Kuf Yud Zayin Amud Beis. Excuse me, Kuf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph. Gemara asks, why in Tehillim do we see sometimes it states the David Mizmor? To David, this was a song. And sometimes it states Mizmor le David, a song to David. Sometimes le David Mizmor, and sometimes Mizmor le David. Gemara says like this. The David Mizmor, if it says David and then Mizmor, Malamed Shishosolov Shchina V'ahakach Omar Shira. It means that David was in a great state to begin with, and therefore he said Shira. He wrote a song, David Le David Mizmor. If it says Mizmor Le David, David sang a song, and then David. Malamed Shomar Shira, first he sang, Ba'ahakach Shor Salav Shechina. And then the Shechina came to him. See, David used to play a musical instrument. So, if he was in a great state, then he could start writing his Tehillim right away. That means the David Mizmor. But if he wasn't, he would first start to play some music for himself. And that would calm him down. Relax him, that would bring him to simcha, to joy, and from there he would be able to write his Tehillim. Then he would say, Mizmor, a song, le-David, for David. What we learn from here, the Gemara says, le-lamdechosh en hashchina sheira, from here we learn that if a person wants hashros hashchina, that means he wants a Kodesh Baruch Hu to be close to him. Le-miteich atzlus, idleness. Kodesh Baruch Hu will not dwell close to idleness. When you see people who are idle, a little idleness is all right. But when you see people who are idle, okay, too much vacation, too much holiday, too much doing nothing, Kodesh Baruch Hu likes productivity. If it's idleness, the Shekhinah will not be there. A wise man once said, I don't remember who, he said that idleness is a luxury which is enjoyed by only those who are too busy to indulge in it. Again, idleness is a luxury which is enjoyed by only those who are too busy to indulge in it. In other words, if you're real busy, a few minutes of idleness could be good. But more than that, in other words, you're not so busy, so you got more time to do nothing. Now, that's not good. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu likes productivity. He doesn't dwell amongst people who are sad. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't like sadness. Doesn't like depression. People who are down. Helps people who are down. But people who always go around miserable. Everything is wrong. Life has not been good to them. They're miserable, they're complaining, they're bitter, they're down, they're depressed. Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't like that. He looks for better company. Le'miteich atzfus, le'miteich shcheik. Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't like shcheik. Shcheik ve'le'miteich kalas rosh. Shchok in kalas rosh is folly. Lack of seriousness. People who just mess around. That he doesn't like. Let me take Dvorim B'Tehilim. Dvorim B'Tehilim is people who sit and talk about nothing, or about nothing important. Okay. So what does he like? Elam, he takes Dvar Simcha Shul Mitzvah. Says he likes Simcha. Simcha is when a person has real joy. Joy, real celebration. He's happy. And if a person's happy, he's productive. And if he's productive and industrious, then he's not idle. He's not wasting his time with useless gossip. He has meaning and purpose in his life and what he's doing. That's what that's the company that HaKadosh Baruch Hu chooses. So therefore, if a person wants Shechina, he's got to be happy. But what do you do if you're not happy? Some people, they don't do anything. No, you have to make yourself happy. But how do you? Well, David's etzer was he would take his instrument and play some music. Take his instrument and play some music that would make him happy. Then he got to work. And that was the same thing that Elisha did. He said, bring me a menagin. He listened to some good music. I can't believe it was the rock and roll that we have. But it was some good music. And it made him happy, Elisha. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu came close to him and he was able to bring in the nevuah. And then that's what the Gemara brings. Shenemar v'ato kechuli menagin v'yakenagin ha-menagin v'tiyelav Hashem. Yad Hashem. Omer v'yuda omer av. V'chein l'dvar halocha. And so is it for dvar halocha. That means that if a person wants to understand the halocha, or he wants to paskin halocha, if a person is in a hurry, or he's just got some news that was not good news, heaven forbid, or he's confused, or whatever, and someone asks him a shaila, he's not allowed to paskin. He's not allowed to answer. Because he could give the wrong halocha. He has to tell the person, don't ask me now. Many people come over to you and say, look, just take a minute. What's the halacha? It might take a minute to ask the halacha, but not necessarily to answer it. And secondly, you have to answer Einat Torah. We'll see later Einat Torah. Nigna, let me take Yishuv. A person can come to Torah only if he's of sound mind. And we're not talking about small people. Even the greatest people would not attempt. You see, even by Moshe Rabbeinu. He wasn't of sound mind. He wasn't totally in control of himself. He forgot the halacha. Because for the halacha you need the shechina. So v'chein l'dvar halacha. If a person is not in strong mind, totally relaxed, totally in control, don't paskin any shailas. Or don't try. It will be difficult to understand the halacha. That's what the Gemara says. Omar of Nachman v'chein l'chalom tov. Nachman says also this is in regards to a good dream. You want to have a good dream at night, then you must go to bed with simcha, with joy. You want to have some nightmares? Watch something good on television. You'll have nightmares. Say, relax. Any, then the Gemara asks, the Gemara says, Esakasha, because it states that when the Talmidim sit before the Rebbe, they have to sit there with a seriousness and a fear, like Klal Yisrael stood at Har Sinai. So why are you telling me that it's supposed to be with Simcha? No, the Gemara says that's once they're learning. But to begin the learning, they have to be relaxed and be Simcha. And then the Gemara brings from Rabba. Ki hod Rabba, mekame de posukul rabbonan, oma milse de bidichusa. Rabba, before he would start to shear, he would say something that would be funny. Ubatke rabbonan, and then the Talmidim would laugh. Then he would say the shear. Maybe that's what comes the custom. But many rabbonim, when they say a drosha, they start off with a joke from the Gemara. So first he would say something funny, and then everybody would have a good laugh, and he would relax the Talmidim. The Talmidim are relaxed. Now they'll be able to learn. This is why it states in the Memches Dvorim Shatora Niknes Behem that you need 48 milas, 48 attributes to acquire Torah, especially Torah. This is true by anything, but not so much. See, even if you want to study mathematics or geography, you got to be relaxed. But not so much, because by Torah, firstly, Torah is such a difficult wisdom, it's from a different world. But secondly, you need the Shechina. That's HaKadosh Baruch Hu who's coming to teach you. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu only comes to happy people with his Torah. He'll come to other people to help them, but not to teach them Torah. So therefore, that's why it states in the Memches Dvorim, in the 48 attributes that a person needs to study Torah, it states Yishuv. He's got to sit down. He's got to be in control and relaxed. And states Simcha. He has to be B'Simcha. The Vilna Gaon, in his letter that he wrote to his household, because he was planning on going to Eretz Yisrael and settling there and then bringing over his family. The trip was aborted, but this was his plan, so he left over a letter. So he wrote the importance of studying with the children. They should study with the small children, the grandchildren and others. But he said, don't force them to learn. You have to make them want to learn. So you have to make the Torah appetizing to them, where they want to learn. What happens if they don't want to learn? He says, bribe them. Promise them all types of things. If they'll learn this, you'll give them a ruble or whatever it'll be. Or you'll give them a coin. You'll give them something nice. But you can't force them to learn. He says, why? She'ein ha-Torah niknas elam mitech yishuv. Because they won't absorb the learning. Learning Torah can come only when a person wants to learn and is trying to learn, and he is well settled. So this is what the Gemara tells us in Psachim and Kuf Yud Zayin. The Gemara tells us in Masechet Shabbos, in Perek Bamei Madlikin, Daf Lamed, Seif Omed Beis, and Daf Lamed Aleph. Gemara says as follows. This is a well-known Gemara. Tana Rabbanan. Le'olam ye'odem in vason ki hillel, v'le ye'kaptin ki shamay. There were two great leaders in Israel. And they were both extremely great. They were from the pillars of our Mishnah. They lived during the time of the Beis HaMikdash. One was named Hillel and the other was named Shammai. One was as great as the other. But they had totally different approaches. Hillel was very easygoing, very tolerant, very liberal. Shammai was a perfectionist, and he demanded perfection from himself, and he demanded perfection from his Talmidim, and from others. And therefore he was very strict. He felt Torah has to be perfect. Gemara comes to the conclusion, then later on they became Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. What does that mean? These were the generations of the students that followed. There were always great machlekes, great arguments in Israel between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. There was even the arguments many times would even get very bitter. But you must know, the Gemara says, that was not Hillel and Shammai. Hillel and Shammai were the closest of friends. Gemara says, le'nisrabe machlekes, b'Yisrael, the bitter machlekes between Shammai and Hillel did not come in their days. It came when was nisrabe talmidim shleishim shukol tzorchen. That came when the Talmidim started to multiply, and the Talmidim were small Talmidim, small ones. They're the ones who caused the trouble. Not Hillel or Shammai, or their great Talmidim. See, that's what you must know. And the Rambam and others bring, that's the problem all the time in Klal Yisrael. When you see fighting in Klal Yisrael, you should know that's not from the Chachomim. And that's not from their great Talmidim. That's from the Talmidim that didn't learn enough. So the Gemara says now, comes to the conclusion now, that in this world, a person should adapt the approach of Hillel, not of Shammai. Leilam ye'odim anboson ki Hillel v'leye kapten ki Shammai. And then it brings a number of cases. It says, Maisa b'shnei b'nei odom, brings a case of two people, Shimur ezeh ezeh, they made a bet with each other. Omru kol mi she'ilech, yakni das Hillel. They said, whoever can go and make Hillel angry, because he never got angry, yitl dalet me azuz, the others will give him 400 zuz. 400 zuz is a lot of money. Omar echod mehem. So one said, ani aknitenu. I will make him angry. Osa yom erev Shabbos. That day was erev Shabbos. V'hillel chofaf esreishai. And Hillel was bathing. Holach v'over al Pesach beisai. He went near the house of Hillel and he started to shout from the street, Mikan Hillel, Mikan Hillel. Is Hillel here? Is Hillel here? Now, first of all, that was a terrible azus, a terrible chutzpah, because Hillel, not only was he from the Godel Hador, the greatest generation, he was an Ossi. He was the leader of the generation, the leader of the Sanhedrin. So Hillel heard, so he robed himself and he went out to meet him. Amalei b'ni, said, my son, mata mavakish, what do you want? Amalei she'eli yeshli lishul, I have a question to ask. Sha'al b'ni sha'al. He says, go ask, my son. Mibnei maro she'en shal bavloim sigal gulais. The heads of the bavloim, of the Babylonians, were always a little out of shape. He says, why? Amalei, so he said, b'ni she'ela g'deile sha'alta. It's a good question, very good question, my son. Mibnei she'en lahem chayis bikoches. He says, unfortunately, their midwives were not too skilled. So whenever they would deliver the babies' heads would become a little lopsided. All right? Then, he waited an hour. Choseva Omar, and he went back again. He said, Mikan Hillel, Mikan Hillel. Again, the same story. He shouts, where's Hillel? Where's Hillel? And he sat to be out of the crisis. He said, Hillel robed himself and went out to meet him. He said, Bini, he said, my son, what do you want? He said, again, Sheila Yishali, shall I have a question to ask? He said, shall ask. Mipne ma enehen shel talmuduyin srutos. There was a certain people, they were called the Talmuduim. Why are they Srutais? Srutais means their eyes were not the normal shape of eyes. Their eyes opened, did not open as wide. The eyelids did not open as wide as normal eyes. He says, you're asking a very good question. Because they live in a very sandy area. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu made their eyes like that, to protect their eyes from the sand. He went and he waited another hour. He came back and the same story again. Mikan Hillel, Mikan Hillel. Again, Hillel put on his robe, he went out, he says, what do you want? I have a question to ask. He says, ask, Mibnei mar agleim shal afrikim rachoves. Why are the feet of the African so wide? Amalei, he says, she'ele gedole shalta, this is a very good question. Mibnei shedorin ben bitzei hamayim. They live in swampy areas. And because they live in swampy areas, their feet are wide. Rashi brings two interpretations on this. One is his own. He says that with wide feet, they can walk in the swamp easier. They do not sink as fast. And then he brings another pirush from his Rabbi Seinu, from his rabbis, that since they live in such wet lands, they go barefoot. And when you go barefoot without shoes, your feet get wider, because the shoe constricts the growth of the foot. Okay. Then he said, this person said, I have many questions to ask, but I'm afraid to ask them because maybe you will get angry. Hillel wrapped himself up, sat in front of him, and he said, all of the questions you want to ask, ask me. And then he said, are you your Hillel, the great Nossi of Israel? Do you realize that you just lost for me 400 zoos? And so on. Okay, that's one question, one case. Mora brings another case. Maisa benochri echad shebali v'nei Shammai. A non-Jew came to Shammai. He said, how many Torahs do you have? He said, we have two Torahs. Torah shebiksav, Torah shebal peah. The written law and the oral law. He said, the written law I will believe in. The oral law I cannot believe in. Gaireni, convert me on the condition that I will accept only the written law. Go'arboy. Shammai shouted at him. Heitziu b'nezifa. And he drove him out. How dare you? You come. You want to join HaKadosh Baruch Hu's nation, you make conditions with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what you'll believe in and what you won't believe in. By Klal Yisrael, what was it? We said, Nase v'nishma, kol ma, whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, we will accept. So he drove him out. Came to Hillel. So Hillel, and he told Hillel the same story. Hillel said, all right. He says, come tomorrow to the base of Midrash and we'll start learning with you. First day he came and they taught him Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Dalet. The next day he came, and they changed the order of the letters. What was Aleph, he said, was a Beis. What was Gimel, he said, what was an Aleph. So the person said, but yesterday you told me the opposite. He says, how do you know what is the truth? How do you know what I told you yesterday was true? Maybe yesterday I told you a lie, and today what I'm telling you is the truth. So why do you tell me that I'm telling you wrong now? So the answer is that evidently you are willing to rely on me, that what I taught you yesterday was the truth, and therefore today it's not. So he says, rely on me also, that the oral law also is true, not only the written law. Another case. A non-Jew came to Shammai, and he said, I want to become a Jew, but you must teach me the entire Torah while I stand on one foot. Shammai dochma be'amas habinyan. Shammai was a builder. He took his building rod, his measuring stick, and he drove him out with it. So he came to Hillel. He told Hillel, convert me on the same basis. Hillel said, yes. Da'alach sani lechavrech leisavit. What is hated to you, what is hated to you, do not do to your fellow man. Zuhi kol haTorah kula. This is the entire Torah. Idoch perushu. The rest is the commentary. Zil gemar. Go and learn. Shuv Maisa. Another case. There was someone who was walking near the Beis HaMedrash, a non-Jew, and he heard they were learning about the begodim, the beautiful garments of the Kohen Gadol. And he asked, who are those garments for? So they said, this is for the Kohen Gadol. So the non-Jew said to himself, I want to become a Jew in order that I can wear those beautiful clothing of the Kohen Gadol. I'll become a Kohen Gadol. So he came to Shammai. He said, convert me on the condition that I will become a Kohen Gadol. Now this was nonsense, because firstly, nobody can become a Kohen Gadol unless he's from the tribe of Levi. And even if he's from the tribe of Levi, he cannot become a Kohen Gadol unless he's from the family of Aaron. The best Jew in the world can't become a Kohen Gadol without that. And even if you're from the family of Aaron, there's no guarantee you'll become the Kohen Gadol, because that's the Gadol Me'echov, that's the greatest Kohen of the generation. So this was nonsense. So he took his measuring rod, Doch v'bamas abinyin shebiyodei, and Sham I drove him out. He probably said, why are all these Meshugoyim coming to me? Bolivnei Hilo, he came to Hilo, and he told him the same thing. So Hilo said, he says, you want to be a Kohen Gadol that's like a king? He says, you can't become a king until you learn all of the laws of the land and all of the what's expected from the king and the royalty. So he says, first you have to sit down and learn. So he started to sit and learn. One day he's learning, and he comes to the Pasuk, Azor HaKorev Yumos, that someone who is not a Kohen is not allowed even to go into the inner parts of the Beis Hamikdash. And if he does, he can suffer the death penalty. So he said, who does that Pasuk refer to? So they told him, Afilo al David Melech Yisrael. Even, it refers even to King David. Because David was from Yehudi, was not from Levi, was not a Kohen. So he made a Kal v'chomer. He says, if there's someone, a Jew, who's called Bonim Lamokom, the sons of Hashem, and he was, Hashem called him my firstborn, and even he cannot go into the inner parts of the Beis Hamikdash where a Kohen can go. A ger, a stranger, that comes with his walking stick and his pack, how much more so? So he came, to Shammai, and then he went to Hillel. He came to Shammai and told him, I realize I cannot become a Kohen. Then he went and Balifnei Hillel, and he came to Hillel, and he said, Yenuchaloch broches al rishecho. The humility and the tolerance of Hillel, that should be always for a brocha, because she karaftani tachas kanfei hashchina. He brought me close to the Shechina. The Yomim, as days went on, nizdavgu shleishten mokom echod. All three of these people happened to meet in one place. And they each one told over his story. And they came to the conclusion, kaptenusai shel Shammai biksha letorannu mina olam. The intolerance, the striving for perfection, the strictness of Shammai almost drove us out of the world. In Vesanusa Shalhilo, but the humility and the tolerance, and in fact he was so liberal, Keiravnu Tachas Kanfei Hashchina, brought us beneath the wings of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is what the Gemara brings on Hillel. Then there's another Gemara. There's another Gemara in Masechta Ervin, where the Gemara says, Masechta Ervin, Yud Gimel Lamed Beis. Gemara says like this, Amar Baba Amar Shmuel, Shlei Shonim Nechleku Beis Shammai Ubeis Hillel. For 3 years, the house of Shammai and the house of Hillel argued, Halolo Aimrim Haloha Kemaisenu Vahalolo Omrim Haloha Kemaisenu. There were many, many differences in opinions, in many halochas, between the house of Shammai and the house of Hillel. And for 3 years, they argued as to who the halocha should be like. Who should the halocha be like the house of Hillel, the house of Hillel, or the house of Shammai? Yotze Sebasko, until one day a voice from heaven came down. Be'omra elu ve'elu divrei elakim chayim. Both opinions are the words of the living God. Ba'halocha kebeis Hillel. But we have to have one opinion to go by. We can't go by both. Many times they're totally contradictory to each other. The halocha is like beis Hillel. That's what the that was the bas kol, the voice of heaven. So now the Gemara asks, "V'chi me'ache she'elu ve'elu diber lekim chayim im ne'ma zocho be'silu l'kvei halocha k'meisan." If both opinions are the words of the living God, so why did Hashem say that the halocha should be like be'silu? So the Gemara answers as follows: "Mipnei she'nochin ma'aluvin," because they were very Hillel was very calm and very patient and very tolerant. Bishonin divrehen v'divrei beishamai. Now this is very important. When they taught, see, today, unfortunately, things are not that way. If you go, let's say there's a differences of opinions when it comes to halacha. There's an argument. One person says the halacha is like this, and the other person says, no, he's wrong, the halacha is like this. One says it's osur, it's forbidden, it's treif. Another one says it's permitted. So what happens? You go to one rav, he'll tell you it's permitted. You go to the other rav, he'll tell you it's treif. It's not kosher. That's not what Hillel did. What did he do? It says when Hillel said something was kosher, and when Shammai held it was treif, when someone would come to Hillel and ask him what the halacha is, he would say there are two opinions. Shammai says it's treif, and I say it's kosher. That's what he would say. He says not only were they very calm and very tolerant, but when they taught, they didn't teach only their opinion. They taught their opinion and Shammai's opinion. They didn't say it's kosher. They didn't say it's treif. They said, I say it's kosher and Shammai says it's treif. Someone asked him, what should I do? He says, that's up to you. You have two valid opinions. Okay. Did you hear of that today? But not only that, they did more, the Gemara says. More. The Gemara comes along and says, the law owed, el shemadimin divrei ba'ashama le divrehan. But not only that, but they would say over the opinion of Shammai before their own opinion. They wouldn't say, I say it's kosher, and Shammai says it's treif. No. They would say, Shammai says it's treif, and I say it's kosher. They would give the honor to Shammai. This is how they work together. Where do we see that? So it brings a case. It brings a case if someone, there was a dispute. Someone is sitting in the sukkah, but it's a very small sukkah. So he was able to fit into the sukkah, but his table was not able to. So he was in the sukkah, and his table, he had a sukkah right outside the door of his house. So his table was in the house, but he was in the sukkah. So what's the deal? So Shammai said it's not kosher. Basilo said it's kosher. So they taught in the Beis HaMedrash as follows. Omru Basilo, the Beis Shammai. Basilo said to Beis Shammai, Lekacho Yomaisi, don't you remember Shoholchu Zikne Beis Shammai Vizikne Basilo? This is what the students taught. Don't you remember that when the elders of Shammai and the elders of Hillel went to visit Rabbi Yechanan ben Achoranis, they found that he was sitting in such a sukkah? Now, notice who did they say first? When the elders of Shammai and the elders of Hillel went, they brought Shammai first. So, what do we see from here? Firstly, we see how a person has to conduct himself. Since you should conduct yourself like Hillel. And Hillel was tolerant. But he was tolerant of other opinions also. He says his other opinions. Everyone has a right to an educated opinion. But it doesn't mean that he's the only one in the world. So they would teach other opinions also. If they were educated, valid opinions of other Talmidei Chachamim. And not only that, they would give them not only as much honor as their own opinions, but even more. So the Gemara comes to the conclusion and it says, from here we learn that kol amash belatzmei HaKadosh Baruch Hu magbiyai. Whoever holds himself humble, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will lift up. Because ultimately, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said the halacha is like Beisilo. Kol amagbiyai atzmei HaKadosh Baruch Hu mashpilai. Whoever holds himself high, now HaKadosh Baruch Hu will push down. Kol amagzei acha agdula gdula bereches mimenu. They never wanted kovod, they never wanted honor. If you run after honor, the honor will run away from you. If you run away from the honor will run after you. Kol adeche kisasho sho'o de kosei. Gemara says, you shouldn't be deche kisasho. I don't know exactly how this fits in here. But the Gemara says, you should not be deche kisasho. What does that mean? If you try to do something, and you see it's not succeeding. Not necessarily a mitzvah. Rashi brings, for example, in business, try to buy a piece of property. And you see, it's not succeeding. You try to make some money on a certain thing, and it doesn't go. It says, don't be deichek es hashoah. Don't push the hour. It means the hour is not right. Whoever pushes the hour will push back at him. Kol anitcha mipnei hashoah, shei menaslai. But if you're nitcha mipnei hashoah, that means that you're trying to do something and you try and try and you see it doesn't go, all right, we'll leave it. It's not for now. The hour will wait for him. In other words, the right time will come. You have to try, but don't try too hard. Don't try too hard. When it comes to business and so forth. All right? So this is what the Gemara says. So here we see we see how a person has to control himself, become, not lose control of himself. And this is what the Mishnah in Masechta Ovis states in Perek Dalet, Mishnah Aleph, Ben Zayma Omar, Ezeo Gibor, who is the Gibor? Hakevish Es Yitzray, who can conquer his Yetzahara. Shenemar brings from Shlema Melech King Solomon in Mishle Tes Zayin, Tov Erech Hapai Mi Gibor, someone who is patient and he holds back his wrath. He's better, he's stronger than a giant. And someone who can control his spirit, he's stronger than someone who can capture a city. Excuse me for a minute. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam Shehakol Nehiyah Bidvaro. To give a concise explanation in all of this, the Maral says as follows. There are two aspects to anger. They both come from the same source. The man was built, was created, Ofra min Adoma, he was created from the earth. And then it states, HaKadosh Baruch Hu blew into his nostrils a ruach nishmas chai, a soul, a living soul. Now, if a person is ruled by his intelligence, by his intellect, which attaches itself to the neshama, to the soul, then he is uplifted and he becomes the person that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created. But if the physical man in him, which he has created from the earth, if that rules his mind, and if that rules everything in him, Then he's going to become the man of the earth, the earthly man, not the spiritual man. If the spirit rules, he will be what HaKadosh Baruch Hu created. If the earthliness in him rules, he will be an earthly man. Now, Midas Hakas, anger, is actually from the physical aspect of man. Because when a person angers, what do we say? A person goes into a heat of rage. We say he lost himself. He lost control of himself. He lost his head. See, what do we say? In other words, the body has taken over the mind. The body has taken over the soul. There's a fire in him. But that fire is not coming from the soul. That fire is not coming from the mind. That fire is coming from the passions of the body, from the heat of the body, or from the emotions of the heart. Many times they are driven, what the Chazal says, the three great drives that drives a person is akina va'ataiva va'akovet. Kina, jealousy, taiva, desire, and kovet, the lust for honor. Those are the three great drivers of the person. But if it's controlled by the spirit of Hashem that's in the person, controlled by the mind in the person, then it's wonderful. But if it controls the other, then it drives him into an uncontrollable situation, into a rage, into anger. In other words, it would be like a person who's riding a donkey or is riding a horse. Who's controlling who? If he's holding the reins and he's controlling the horse, well, there's nothing better than that. He can go places where, with the horse can take him places where he can't go himself. But what happens if the horse gets out of control? He can't control the horse. And the horse starts controlling him. That's what happens with anger. The anger are coming from the keches haguf, from the powers of the earthly man. And that takes over. And once it takes over, what do we say? He lost control. Absolutely, that's exactly what happened. He lost control. He lost his head. Yeah. Actually, in courts of law today, in modern law, many times they want to vindicate a person for doing violent crimes, even murder, because they say he went into a rage. The point of guilt might not be at the end of it, but at the beginning, that he went into the rage. A person is not allowed to allow himself to do such a thing, to go into such a rage where he cannot control himself. So this is kas. Now, when that happens, then he's far from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because if this is these gabrus, the strength of the physical man, then he cannot come close to Hashem. Who can come close to Hashem? The man with the spirit, the spiritual man. And that's why if the Ruach Hashem in the person is Gever, then he can identify and attach himself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But if the physical man is Gever, then he's come almost to the level of an animal. So he's far from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If he's far from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then his wisdom will disappear. His Torah, his Nebuah, his prophecy. Certainly he can't be a leader. A leader by Klal Yisrael had to be someone that would bring the nation close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's far from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So how could Eliyahu be a leader of Klal Yisrael? He's supposed to lift the nation up to Hashem. And he himself is far from Hashem. And therefore, a person has to realize that when he's in a state of anger, he should know he's in a state being distanced from Hashem and everything that comes with it, from the Shekhinah. That's one aspect. There's a second aspect also, but as we said, it comes from the same source, and that is the physical world is a world which is constantly in flux, constantly moving, changing, all the time. And it's not always in perfect balance. We see in the physical world, there's winds, cold, hot, rain, this and so forth and so on. And that's why man is never in a say in a constant state, because he's physical. But the Bilti Gashmi, the spiritual man, the spiritual world, is always tamid. It's always constant. By Kodesh Baruch Hu, there's no change. It's constant. It's perfect. It's in perfect balance. Anger, if a person will examine what anger is, it's a radical change in the human being. A person gets angry, he's thrown off of balance, he becomes, radical changes go through him, even physically. Doctors will tell you, blood pressure goes up, his heartbeat goes up, his adrenaline pumps, and so forth and so on. He's going through radical and violent changes. And he loses his consistency, and he loses his balance. He's off balance. And also, he goes to an extreme. Achazal tell us that extremes are dangerous. Must always stay in the center. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Yosher. He's straight. And his Torah is straight. The Maral says, this is why Beis Hillel was Zohu, they merited that the Halacha should be like them. Because he says, when it comes to the debate of the Torah, when it comes to the Pilpula Torah, there, that's change. That's radical discussion. That's argument. That's all right. But when it comes to the Halacha, which is the conclusion of the Pilpul, the Halacha comes from the word halicha, to walk. That must be perfectly straight. The Halachas of the Torah are yosho, straight. In order to paskin a shaila, to give a perfect decision, you have to be a person who is totally in control, totally balanced, not to one extreme or another. This was Beis Hillel. Actually, the Gemara brings interesting. It says that the Talmidim of Shammai were harifei, Yosef. The students of Shammai were really smarter than the students of Hillel. They were smarter and they were sharper. And when it came to a good debate, many times they could win the argument. But when it came to the perfect balance, that you need manucha for. That you need calmness and patience. Like state heavy mesuvin bedin. Many times, someone who's very smart, you ask him a question, he can answer immediately. But still, we are commanded, when a question is asked in Halacha, you must not answer. You must say, you'll think about it. You must deliberate. Because the Halacha has to be the perfect balance, not to the right or to the left. Like a person walks, he wants to walk in a straight line. This was Hillel. So therefore it demands all of those qualities, tolerance, consistency, balance. That's just the opposite of anger. Because when a person angers, he loses his balance, he loses his control, he loses his consistency, whatnot. Later on he apologizes and says, I'm sorry, I lost control, I lost my head. See? That's not the Midas HaSeichel. The Seichel, the supreme intelligence that a Kodesh Baruch Hu gave a person, is Yosher, straight. It's the influences of the earthliness of man that distort it and corrupt it. Now, let us conclude. there's an interesting Rambam. The Rambam spends a lot of time in Hilchos Deos, where he lays down a principle. He says that People are made up of many, many traits. Some come through parenthood, through birth. Others develop. Others are intentionally adapted or unintentionally adapted. And it's a mixture of all of these traits. That's the human being, and I know two people that are exactly alike. One person will be a great spender. Another person will be someone who can never let go of a penny. And so on. She says, the principle is you have to choose the middle path. She says, extremes are no good. And that's the Avedis Hashem. That's the task of the person in this world. He has to constantly work and develop in every trait to choose the middle path. Not to the right or not to the left. So in Perek Aleph, the Rambam says, therefore, when it comes to the trait, to the meat of kas, he says, Leye balcheima neach lichais. He shouldn't be a person who, in Yiddish it's called fahitzt, a person who's hot-headed, who always gets angry. But on the other hand, lekemes, he shouldn't be like a dead person, sheina margish, that never reacts. Elebeinani, must be in the middle. Lo yichais el aldover godl shiroi lichais olav. He should not get angry except on something which is appropriate to get angry. In order that people shouldn't do it again. Okay, that's what he says in Perek Aleph, Halacha Dalet. In Perek Beis, he comes along and he says, there are some qualities, he says there are a few qualities, that a person should not even walk in the middle path. But he should distance himself from these qualities to the extreme left, because they are so bad. And there he brings, he says, V'chein akas mida ro hi ad lema'od. Anger is very, very bad. And roi lodim shisrachik mimenu ad akseo acher. And anger is so bad that you should distance yourself from it to the other extremity. V'yelame ratzma shaliyuchais, teach yourself that you should not be angry even on something which is befitting to be angry on. And if you want to make a protest in your household, your children, your household are doing things that they should not be doing, so you want to make a protest. Or if you're a rav of a community and you want to make a protest on the community or so forth. So therefore, he says, you should make yourself look like you're angry. But really, between you and yourself, Daitam Yushevis, you should be calm, internally calm, like a person who's just acting. This is what he brings. And then he brings someone who gets angry, it's like he's Eved Avodah Zarah, it's like idolatry, because he becomes enslaved to his passions. Okay, so there's a contradiction here, because here he says, you shouldn't get angry even on something which is appropriate to get angry on. And in the first parak, he said that you shouldn't get angry unless it's a dover godel, unless it's something very great which is appropriate to get angry on. Now, there's only two words that the Rambam wrote to distinguish these two cases. He says, even on something that's appropriate to get angry on, you shouldn't do. You should be internally calm. You can make yourself look angry. You shouldn't get angry unless it's a dover godel, shirai lichais. He says, unless it's something very great. There's times we need anger. For example, if we have to go to war, can't go to war being calm. Can't go run after someone with a sword and want to cut his head off and be very calm about it and unemotional. You have to be angry at the evil. When Israel went to drive out the seven nations in Eretz Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told them, La Sechaya Kol Neshama, do not let anyone live. They are murderers. They are evil. They are idolaters. They are rapists. They are destroying the world. We have to hate what is evil. Be'ata aromik yirbechot states that you shall drive evil out of the land. You got today your big liberals. What's the matter with them? So you heard on the radio a serial killer that killed 43 people, and the judge gave him 12 years and a couple of years suspended sentence and a fine and 3 years. Why not rehabilitate him? That's not the Torah. Be out of Aaronic Yerbechot states, you must eliminate evil from the land. How can there be good if evil's destroying it? But we should be good to the terrorists, and meanwhile they can destroy. So there has to be anger. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Sroras HaMidyonim, take revenge against the Midyonim. If everybody would have kept calm and said, look, let's be tolerant, nothing would have happened. If Pinchas would have been calm, he wouldn't have done anything. When Moshe Rabbeinu at the Egel Azov, at the golden calf, he called, he says, me, who is for Hashem? And all B'nai Levi gathered up and he said, take your swords and go and kill all of those that served idolatry, and they killed even people of their own family. You think they can do that without anger? So where is the line? So the Rambam is saying like this. There are many things that are appropriate to get angry about. But you can achieve the same thing without anger. There he says, cool it. Take it easy. There are other things that are not only appropriate to get angry, but they're a dover godlo. And you cannot achieve it without anger. Then you must get angry. Yes. So that's why in the first parak he says, one must not anger unless it's a dover godlo. It's something which is of a great nature that's roi. That's appropriate to get angry. Second parak is saying, even on something that you should get angry, take it easy, cool it. Because you can do it without anger. You can forget about it, or even if you have to do something about it, you can be internally calm and act as if you're angry. By Pinchas, by the golden calf, or when Moshe saw an Egyptian striking a Hebrew, he became so angry he killed the Egyptian. There he needed anger. There anger is the motivator. Anger against evil. If we're not angry against evil, we will not do anything. That's a dover godel that you cannot do without anger. But in the cases, by Moshe here where he got angry 3 times and he forgot his halacha, there in those 3 cases, he could have achieved the same thing without anger. The troops came back, and they didn't kill everyone they were supposed to. All right, Moshe was required to make a protest. But Vayichtsov, he didn't have to get emotionally angry about it. Or the same thing, he wanted to know, why didn't Aaron eat that certain sacrifice? So he was required to make a protest. It was roi, but he didn't have to get angry over it, Vayichtsov. Or in the situation, what was the other case of the Yaches Asela? The people were grumbling and the people were pushing him around, so he should have showed anger. But he didn't have to get emotionally upset. He got emotionally upset. See, this is where the Rambam draws the line. Now, everyone is subjected to anger. There's nobody that's free of it. Some people have more or less. But this is what is the challenge of the person. If it's something which anger is required, yes. But where anger is not required, there we must be very careful because of all of the ramifications. And then the Rambam says we must distance ourselves as much as possible. And even if it's necessary for you to show anger, but if it's not required where you actually become angry, then you're not allowed to get angry. You have to show it. But he says internally you must become. This is what we learn from this Sedra in regards to the Midas Hakas and the great reward for those who can control their anger, like we see from Beis Hillel. Thank you.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.